There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
You're out, you're about, but you want your Dan Patrick. Well, good news, he goes everywhere with you. If you missed the show, you can podcast it. If you want to see the show, just go to Peacock, and we stream it live every weekday. Watch past episodes, too. The Dan Patrick Show, available anywhere you are, any way you want it. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
I love Dan Patrick. Oh, my God.
Home to the biggest guests and best sports talk on radio.
I love it.
One of my favorites.
Normally, home to Dan Patrick.
Hope you'll miss us.
But today, Dan and the Danettes are off.
Don't see another radio show behind my back.
Instead, you get Doug Gottlieb and Dan Byer broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave. This is the Dan Patrick Show.
What up? Good morning to you. Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you live from TireRack.com studios. Man, I wish I could tell you that was a great sports weekend. Right? That's what I love about a show on a Monday is, like last Monday, what a weekend. You know, Super Bowl, controversial call, what a weekend. But you just, I just can't. So maybe this is a weekend where you caught up on college basketball. Maybe this is a weekend where you, I don't know, you went skiing. Maybe this is a weekend where you went and saw a great high school playoff game. Or you were into the XFL. I don't know. The XFL thing I struggle with. As I tweeted out. By the way, this is Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. In for Dan and the Danettes. Dan's out, I believe, all week. I'm with you next couple of days. Jay Stu, the producer, John Ramos, and, of course, the very talented Dan Byer. And we're with you for the next 3 hours. And I was trying to figure out why I dislike everything about the All-Star Game so much. Because look, if you've known anything about my life, my career, I owe everything to basketball. Everything. Literally every morsel of food that I have, any car I've ever owned, any home I've ever purchased, any of this stuff, I owe to basketball. Because basketball opened doors for me that nothing else would. Just what I played college basketball. I played professional basketball overseas. And I originally got opportunity in Oklahoma City on an Oklahoma City radio station. I got an opportunity at ESPN, all because I played college basketball and somebody knew my name. There's a name recognition with it. And I was kind of quirky and I got an opportunity and the rest went from there. So this is not me, the basketball hater. And I would probably tell you that there were moments in my childhood that I loved. I loved the All-Star game. But you go back to this weekend, and I just be honest with you, I was on a plane back from calling the North Carolina State game and didn't watch a second of the All-Star game live. And this continues a pattern of over 20 years of not watching the All-Star, not watching a single play of the All-Star game live. And I think I can contextualize why the All-Star weekend has the opposite of the intended effect. Now, again, I don't know what you think All-Star weekend is, but to me, it's a celebration of basketball. It's a celebration of the talented guys in the NBA. And whatever you heard about the guys in the NBA or whatever you feel about the guys in the NBA, the reality is there's more talent and skill than there has ever been. It's fair to say basketball players in many ways have evolved, and now we have, it's like Kareem's like, man, I was overcoached. I was 7 feet tall. I was told not to dribble the ball up the court. Now, the realistic person would say, well, Kareem, you shouldn't dribble the ball up the court. You couldn't dribble. But because skills are developed at such a much younger age and guys are dribbling and shooting at such a much younger age, that the overall package of a player is better, is more developed. And it stands to reason that if Kareem was growing up now, he would have a more developed skill set. You know, Michael Jordan couldn't really shoot his first couple years in the NBA. That would have been more developed. It's the way in which players are developed. Now, it's not all better, but there is a lot more skill development. So this is not me hating on the current NBA player. But you have Mike Malone, who's the coach of the Denver Nuggets, saying that's the worst basketball game ever played. You see clips of it. Everyone is just like, geez, this is a waste of time. Jaylen Brown said that's not basketball. So here you have a celebration of... You guys okay with the second biggest sport in America? Used to be the biggest. And for people who don't watch the NBA, and or not just the casual viewers, but you know the hater viewers, the guys who go like, they don't play defense. Then you turn on the All-Star game, you're like, see? All they do is shoot threes and dunks. See? They don't have the competitiveness of the other sports, and guys don't like each other. And see, it's more about what you're wearing when you walk into the arena than the substance of how you play. See, again, it's not that the NBA didn't put on a good show. Halftime show was great. Hey, intros were pretty fun. But if any negative stereotype that a NBA hater fan has is right there. You know, some players not accepting any accountability in the Q&A for any of their, you know, for leaving teams or why things went wrong. You got the commissioner, we'll get to this, in complete denial, at least outwardly, of load management and what it's done for people viewing the NBA. Like all of those, all that stuff, this should have been a great feel-good weekend where you sit there and go, man, we're the only real international sport that kills it in America. Right? You got people from all walks of life, all countries on earth, different styles of player, different backgrounds. Should be celebrated. Oh, man, look at how good, how amazing so many of these players are, especially they actually really can play defense. Believe it or not, they really can. They're better defensively in many ways than guys ever used to be because they're longer, more athletic. They move better laterally than my generation or previous generations did. That's just a reality to it. But they don't, and they don't care. And it just becomes yet another money grab. Yeah, why'd you go to the LC? Well, you know, I got new shoes, and I got new sponsorships, and I got, you know. They couldn't even get, Mac McClung winning the dunk contest was awesome. Awesome. But Mac McClung's not really in the NBA. You couldn't get any of the NBA stars to be in the dunk contest? I don't know if the dunks would have been as good, but when you have zero NBA starters in a dunk contest, you're like, I don't know who this guy is. I know who Mac McClung is, not just because covering college basketball for years, but I also know that he played for my friend Miles Simon with the Defenders. But he was a YouTube sensation when he was in high school. You're like, man, Mac McClung. But he's in the G League for a reason. And while it's an awesome story, awesome, you know, it's like the NBA slam dunk contest used to have Dominique Wilkins and Michael Jordan. Those are the two best scorers in the NBA. Now we have guys that you couldn't pick out of a lineup. I don't know who that person is. My son's 13 years old. And he was like, Dad, who are these guys? I know who Mac McClung is. I don't know who the rest of these guys are. There's your All-Star Game weekend. And so instead of celebrating the sport, which is what it's about, right? It's a football is over, celebrating the sport. Yes, because the NBA used to have Christmas Day, and the NFL is like, yeah, we'll take that back. We'll take that back. So this is the launch of the sport. Hey, football's over. NBA's here. We're on all these networks. We're on all the time. We got better players than we've ever had. And they do. There's actually incredible parity in the NBA. It's like Kyrie Irving being traded to Dallas. It gives them two stars. Like, okay. And then you look at Golden State. They have stars. Then you look at the Clippers. They have two stars. Then you look at the Lakers. They have two stars. Then you got to go team by team. Like, wow, they've actually kind of, sort of, finally gotten a lot more parity in the NBA. You got a bunch of teams and a bunch of players, and you've had unbelievable first half in terms of some of these scoring outbursts. And then instead of celebrating the sport, you're like, that's the worst thing I've ever seen. And the part that, and I've said this before, the part that this All-Star game that I think makes it worse than the Pro Bowl, which, again, never watched a live snap of and continue to be rewarded for it, or even the baseball All-Star game is, in the NBA, you actually can play relatively hard defensively. You're not going to get hurt. Right? Like in baseball, you can't have a guy, you know, throw extra innings or really reach back and try just because you're talking about $200-300 million arms and a guy, you're not going to throw one out in the All-Star game. And many of the pitchers are in fact starters. And do you really want to have them warm up out of the pen, you know, change their, you just don't. In football, it's pretty obvious, right? You can't go hard and you can't go halfway and play real football because you go halfway and somebody else doesn't go halfway and you're going to just get annihilated. In basketball, you actually can play real basketball. Guys do it all the time. Play relatively hard defensively. And no injuries occur. So maybe it's that we all know they can do it and yet they just won't do it. But whatever it is, that's the worst piece of crap basketball I have ever seen. And I don't even get the, like, the idea of a great dunk is, can you actually do it when it's in a real game, when there's somebody in the way? Otherwise, it's like if a Major League Baseball game, if every at-bat was the home run derby. That's what it feels like. Dan Byer, you want to add to it?
Well, I think the NBA All-Star Game used to hold on to something of, hey, when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, these guys are going to tighten up and they're going to play defense and they're going to lock down in this fourth quarter because When all is said and done, Doug, these guys still want to win. And so last night with the Elam ending, you had 40-footer after 40-footer after 40-footer launched by Team Giannis, who was up at that point, because they knew they had a 10-point lead.
They just want to go home.
Well, they wanted to end on a 40-foot three, like, and make a big splash. And there was no, like, let's lock down and let's get this W at the end. Like, that even, that portion of the game. And that reminds me of the dunk contest where, you know, I see Mac McClung save the dunk contest. No, he didn't. Maybe he made it interesting next year if he re-enters, or it was interesting on Saturday night. And it was on Saturday night. There was a little bit of buzz with Mac McClung, but not anything to be like, this thing is back, and we get it every year. But it just it is slowly dwindling away. And that, like, even last night, just of watching at the end, you're thinking, maybe these guys will tighten up and you'll have that competitiveness like we've seen in previous All-Star games. And instead, it looked like guys trying to win cars at halftimes of Laker games. That's what it looked like, because Dame hit the half court three at one point, which is ridiculous. But then everybody wants that final moment of, I want the big shot to end the game, and then it's just brick, air ball. Yeah, even that portion of the game just was. They should have best air ball next year at the NBA All Star Weekend. That would be a great contest to add.
I love the debate shows. Did Jason Tatum win the MVP? Is that right?
Yes.
I love the debate shows are going to go today. Say, like, well, Jason Tatum won the MVP. What does that do for his career?
Nothing.
Yes.
Like, he shot the ball more than other people, so he got, right? Like, congratulations on being the best one-on-one player or one-on-none player in the NBA. Putting yourself in the best cherry-picking position to get more points than anybody else. Like, what is... By the way, they call the award the Kobe Bryant Award.
Ah, now that's funny.
Right? This is amazing. Like, people now want to take the Mamba mentality to mean anything. Right? Like, man, my back hurts. I'm going to go to work. Why? Mamba mentality. Right? They want everything to be Mamba mentality. That's how he is a deity in not just the sports world, but to any sports fan. But to have an award given to the guy who plays the least defense, shoots the most in a completely meaningless game, I don't know if Kobe Bryant's the guy that I would suggest. Because, and I didn't love Kobe the player for a good portion of his career. Like, he was not close to my favorite player. I always found, but the one thing you always say about Kobe is that dude was competitive as hell.
Yeah.
Right? Now, it could be a little selfish, and maybe that's where it goes, but that dude, do you think he would like that basketball game?
Kobe had his nose broken by Dwayne Wade in the All-Star game, 13 years ago, and then told Wade that he loved it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that's, you know, because of the physical nature that they were playing.
Yes. Yes.
I saw that on TikTok, by the way, that popped up at the All-Star Weekend. Random Dwayne Wade video.
Do we credit TikTok? Do we credit TikTok, or do we shout out to TikTok?
I think shout out.
The only thing that could have added to what a poop show that was is if Pat Mahomes' brother did a TikTok during the game on the court. That's the only thing that could have made that mess even less watchable.
Thought it was great that they gave Giannis a 30-pound trophy and are like, here, your wrist is injured. Hold on to this. Gosh, I know you want Boston in the finals, but this is ridiculous.
By the way, on Friday, yes, on our regular show on Friday, yes, John Ramos deserves credit. We do this gambler segment. John Ramos chose Team John. I think Team Giannis. I think he chose the money line and the points, and the teams hadn't even been drafted yet. But he caught it. That's how good John is.
I thought about it. I'm like, that's actually probably pretty good value by John to get anything plus money.
Oh, yeah. It was plus like 150.
When you don't even know the teams. That's a pretty good pick by John.
That was a very good pick by John. That segment, by the way, is called The Gambler. It's an award-winning segment. It's on the Doug Gottlieb Show every Friday on Fox Sports Radio.
They should have Team Jaundice. That's what they should have.
Team Jaundice. Team Jaundice.
Oh, yellow.
Versus Team the Gout. How about Team Jaundice versus Team the Gout? right? And just raise money. And then the question is, like, how do you fix it? How do you fix it?
Well, I think that the mention of Kobe is it's on the players. I mean, it really is. This isn't a, I don't want to get hit, so we have to play flag football. This
That's what
is,
I'm saying.
Yeah, this is, it's on those 24 guys. That's who it's on.
Well, isn't it really on one guy?
LeBron?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing about LeBron.
Yay.
And we can all sit here and go, hey, on one hand, like, he's an amazing player. He's never had an issue off the court, which, like, let's not undersell. In this day and age, like, it's incredible. There's zero negative of him off the court. He's been better than anyone could have ever thought when he came out of high school. Right? No matter what you thought of him being the next one, like, he's, I don't know if anyone said he'll be in the discussion of the greatest players of all time. There would be hype guys, but literally in that discussion. But if it's his league and this is his era, look at what's happened to his league in his era. Seriously. There is no ownership of, if LeBron says, hey, dude, we're playing defense, I'm getting after it. He can't control everybody to do it, but a lot more guys will fall in line. That's the reality of it. That's the absolute reality of it. Whether it's, and, you know, from the load management to the switching teams to the way in which super teams are put together, like, this is one of those, my wife told me to take out the garbage. I told her you cooked it, you take it out, right? That's the old Rodney Dangerfield line. Like, guys, him complaining about anything in the NBA or what, like, dude, this is your league. You got to take ownership of it. And the perception of it, I don't know what the perception of it was in Salt Lake City, but the perception of it is, this is what the league is. Nobody plays defense, kind of grab ass. Dudes just like each other. They're just collecting checks, you know, and playing as little as possible, as little defense as possible, to make as much money as possible. They don't actually care about the teams they play for. They just want to play with their guys. At the end of the year, in the NBA Finals, then they want to play hard. That's the perception. And it was only amplified based on the mess that was the All-Star game last night in Salt Lake.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for all the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right there on the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code DP. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at dkhorse.com.
Intelligence runs in the family. Innovation runs in the family. Extraordinary runs in the family. The 2023 Mercedes-Benz range of SUVs. Every member is waiting to impress. Learn more at MBUSA.com. It's MBUSA.com. Doug Gottlieb and the Doug Gottlieb Show crew in for Dan and the Danettes here on Fox Sports Radio. Rick Bucher joins us. He's covered the NBA for years. You see him on Speak on Fox Sports 1. He covers the NBA for FoxSports.com as well. Buke, you know, it's been since Magic hit his step-back jump shot over, I guess they're friends again, but former best friend Isaiah Thomas. I think that was in Orlando.
Yeah.
Think back to Orlando.
91.
Sure.
When was that?
It had to be 93. Because Magic retired in the, what was it, the fall of 91, I believe, or 92.
Yeah.
So it had to be 90. It had to be 93. Anyway, that was the last time I watched the NBA All-Star Game live. And since then, it's gotten worse. I don't know if we're at a breaking point, but just the clips you watch and the highlights, just bad. You have Mike Malone saying, it's the worst basketball game I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You have Jaylen Brown saying, that's not basketball.
Yep.
And you know me, I think the basketball, when you actually go watch it, in many ways, is better than it's ever been. Players are better. The game is really good to watch, really fun to watch, but it does the league a disservice. Is there anything going to be done to try and fix that mess?
Well, they have. They've tried, and it hasn't. It has had its moments over the last, 30 years since you watched. the devices that they've used to make it or to infuse more competition into it have worked, but they've only worked for a time. And obviously, the latest where it's quarter by quarter. That put a little juice back into it, but now the players really don't care. I believe that it's part of a larger problem where winning every game no longer matters. And it's just infused itself in the All-Star game because it's the least meaningful game in terms of what produces things for players. Yes. Winning All-Star MVP, and you see certain guys will go for it. But in terms of defending or collectively winning the game, especially now that they're being picked by captains, you know, every action has a reaction. So now it's not East versus West. You don't have the conference rivalry or reputation or pride on the line. Now you're playing for a particular player. They're all individuals sort of playing for themselves. And so all of that has been lost. And I just don't know. I mean, I've often said it, and the NFL has gone to this, which is let's just make it a weekend of competition of individual skills. The game, because the three-point contest, the dunk contest, thank you, Mac McClung, those still have some value. I mean, I'm more interested in those than I am.
But even the dunk contest, like, and I love the Mac McClung story.
Yeah.
But you can't get any NBA star to be in the dunk contest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is a problem that is a problem too. But again, we've gotten to this point where players, we are rewarding players regardless of whether they win or not. We're giving guys
participate. They have guaranteed contracts that guarantee them. All right, so which gives
it's
us.
It's not just guarantees though. Like, we're making them into stars.
Yes.
We're talking about guys being superstars who have never come close to winning a championship.
Agreed.
And so it's human nature. Like, if I don't have to win to be considered a champion, then why should I risk being embarrassed in the dunk contest or not winning the dunk contest when everybody thinks I'm a great in-game dunker? Why should I compete in it? I had to laugh when somebody asked LeBron James, like, what do you think of Mac McClung winning the dunk contest? That was whatever he said. I'm like, why are we asking LeBron? He's never competed in the dunk contest. Like,
I got to be honest with you. He's the problem. He's the problem. Okay? It has nothing to do with, I'm not doing the Skip Bayless clutch gene crap thing. But like, dude, it's your league and it's devolved. And you take the dunk contest, and again, when we were kids, Jordan and Dominique Wilkins and Clyde Drexler, who were the best scorers in the league, and there was a conversation there for a while that Clyde might be creeping up on Jordan, and, you know, right? And Dominique Wilkins, do we peg him? And they were in the dunk contest.
Yeah. No, it was a rite of passage.
And LeBron, it's a rite of passage. And LeBron never did it. Never did it. Okay.
Yeah, but so I'm not going to put all that on him. I'm going to put that on us because we accepted it and still put him in that pantheon without him taking the normal course of a player, of a superstar. We've made him into a superstar and put him at the very top of the league, and yet he bypassed a lot of the rites of passage for a superstar player. And I found it interesting in yesterday's game because I did watch with one eye closed because it was challenging. And LeBron was actually trying to play a little bit of defense in terms of some rundown blocks. Like, it wasn't, you know, straight up or whatever, but and nobody was following him on, like, he made a couple efforts. And I was like, huh, that's interesting too. So, I this is going to sound like I'm bagging on LeBron, and that's not my intention. I don't know that he's the cause, but I think in some ways he's the result of how we have changed the dynamics of what it is to be a true superstar player in the league.
Okay, Kyrie Irving said that, you know, that anybody, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, that people who that don't like load management or guys sitting out, you're dehumanizing players.
Yeah.
Right? He loves that dehumanizing. But Adam Silver also said, like, hey, they're human beings here. He's doing the dehumanizing thing when talking about load management. There's lots of science behind it.
Yeah.
Like, but, like, what world are these guys living in that they don't realize that this is an issue, that the paying customer doesn't know who's going to be playing on a given night?
Yeah, well, I thought that Adam's comments at the very end are the bottom line, which is ticket sales are up, renewal sales are up. So how much do they really, really care? How much is it affecting the bottom line? When it affects the bottom line, I can assure you that there will be changes made. And what this is such a complicated thing, and I've gone back and forth. My initial position was, well, of course, like, how is it that we have load management? We have guys resting just to rest, and yet we have just as many injuries
correct.
As we've ever had. Like,
correct.
Whatever we're doing is not working. And so why is that? We have all this science and this sports medicine knowledge and these improved conditions and training and all of that. And it's not changing the bottom line in terms of the number of injuries. So what is it that we're not doing? And I talked to a number of veteran players, and they're like, the game is more physically athletically challenging in terms of it's faster. There's more. You're changing direction more often. It's more of that. And I believe that there's also the ball and the demand on the star players is greater than ever. The usage rate of the players is greater than ever. Teams don't score utilizing team basketball as much. It's more direct line speed going over the top of you, et cetera, than we've ever seen. So you're making more demand that way. And so I was like, okay, you know what? There's some legitimacy to this. There's a reason that you need to incorporate it. Then I had a conversation with a player, former champion, now an executive in the league. And I've been hearing this complaint from executives forever. They will never put their name on the record because it's a sure way of getting fired and never being being given a job again. And they feel like the medical aspects, because they've hired all of these medical experts and trainers, et cetera.
So overvalued, that, it's crazy.
Yeah, they have undue influence. But the player, the former champion and now executive, said the problem is that nobody practices, and when they do practice, they don't scrimmage. So how can you go from individual workout stuff and no practices to now you're playing games? And as you know, Doug, like, the movements in a game, the demands on your body in a game, there's almost no way to replicate that other than playing the game. And the real difficulty is now, so let's say that tomorrow they all wake up and say, you know what, we need to get back to scrimmaging 5-on-5. You're going to have, in the short term, more injuries as a result of that because the entire league's not used to doing that. But it's almost like they have to go through that to get back to where guys are going to be conditioned to play more games. And then there's just the difference between the guys who really need that to be able to play and the teams telling them, you know, like the guys I talked to, Mike Conley, he was like, or Kevon Looney, was like, no, I got to fight the medical staff. They're like, you should take a game off. It's like, I'm good. So you have guys being encouraged to take time off. And then you're going to have guys who are, okay, I'm still getting paid. They say I should take a game off. What? If I'm feeling a little bit sore, why do I want to go out and play if I don't have to? And we could say that about the All-Star game. I mean, it's all the same thing.
Yes.
We've encouraged players by rewarding them even when they don't play or they don't win.
LeBron said these last 23 games are the most important 23 games of his career.
Yeah.
That's a bit of an overstatement.
Well, I guess I believe that he believes that. But I'm going to go back to the game that he set the record in. He set the record in the third quarter. He played 8 minutes in the fourth quarter straight. There were 37 seconds left when he sat down because of his ankle. It was a two-possession game with 37 seconds left. That was a very, very important game for the Lakers in their attempts to get to the playoffs or the play-in. You couldn't give me 37 seconds. You could score 38.
Well, then he took the next two off.
And then took the next two games off. So, and I, you know, for the last 2 years, like, he stayed in games that that were already decided, and because he was trying to win the scoring record, the scoring title last year. Like, he's done things he's never done before in the last couple of years, as far as trying to score, mm-hmm. instead of how do I best utilize the energy that I have at age 37, 38 to win. So I know the narrative that he wants us to believe, and this is difficult because I do think that titles and championships do mean something to LeBron, without question. But his actions don't fit with the narrative that he's trying to sell us. And you got to explain the Oklahoma City game to me before I'm going to buy in that. Yeah, I think now that they made all those moves, I think he does want to get to the playoffs. It's on him to get him to the playoffs. They changed the team for the fourth time. So, yeah, that responsibility is on him, and I'd love to see him do it. I'd love to see him in the playoffs. I'd love to see the Lakers in the playoffs. I want to see that. But when he starts to tell us this is what I'm all about, I'm like, I want to believe that, but – you give me a ton of evidence that that's not always the case.
Yeah, it's the juxtaposition of last year when he opened up the possibility of returning to Cleveland when they're in a playoff hunt at the All-Star game, right? And that went over like a lead balloon.
Honestly, it was like, I'm disappointed we didn't get Kyrie Irving. Like, now you have to change out the team. You just looked at your locker room and went, yeah, you know what? These guys aren't good enough for me to
Correct.
Win.
Correct. I thought we had a championship for a while, but now I'm going to do the best I can with what we got. Buke, we got to go. I appreciate it, buddy.
You got it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you can also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Doug Gottlieb Show, boys. All in for Dan, the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. So here's how a show actually works. Okay? We'll let you inside the... And every show is different. Our show is 3 to 5 Eastern Time, plus we have an hour live pod, so 3 to 6 Eastern Time. iHeart Sports app is the easiest way. Just download it wherever you are. 12 to 2 West Coast Time, third hour is the podcast. As we get together and we text, we got a text chain, email chain, whatever... And before shutting it down last night, and I had one of those long days, like Saturday, Jay Stu, I spent all Saturday coaching in a gym in Seal Beach called AIM. I was coaching AAU basketball, coaching my son and my program. I grabbed something to eat. I caught a 10:40 flight to Raleigh, Durham, a red eye to Raleigh, Durham. By the way, we got to find time. This is probably a podcast thing, but Beyer, I need you to hop in on it. Obviously, Ramos, you can't be involved since you haven't flown on a plane in 20 years. But I don't know how to term it, but Raleigh, Durham's like, is like the Creighton of mid-major airports, right? Like, not really a mid-major, but man, is it nice, and you can get a lot of places.
Yes.
And you get there, you're like, how did I not know this existed previously?
I flew in there a few years ago for a golf trip. Drove on down to Pinehurst.
And it's amazing.
Had a direct flight from LAX.
But, it looks like it's brand new. You can fly a lot of places. The area itself is kind of awesome. It's like, I didn't even know this existed. It's like, I said this about Boise. Like, Boise is the nicest city you'll never, it's the greatest place you'll never visit. I feel like Raleigh Durham is one of those places as well. Charleston, another place on that. Like, it's almost like the people get mad at me for saying how cool these places are. It's like, we don't want people moving here. Okay, we don't want your type. Meaning you. You can enjoy it, just don't tell anybody about it. Anyway, so landed, had a little breakfast with Mike Holsey, who does my All Ball podcast. By the way, download that. Another conversation with Shaka Smart. Really fascinating stuff. Why he didn't leave VCU for a long time and why he did leave for Texas. That's the part of the conversation. It's called All Ball with Doug Gottlieb. Got a little workout in, went over, called the North Carolina State game, where North Carolina State came from six down to win going away. And then went to the airport, got a bite to eat, flew home. And as I landed, I was actually connecting flight going home. So there's a flaw. I think only one nonstop a day coming back to LA. There's three going out there. As I landed, I saw this Jay Stu, and I don't remember if it was in text or an email, where you said you had the end-all, be-all statement for why we're going to put an end to the LeBron-MJ GOAT debate. Is that accurate?
What it is it's kind of a survey, but it's a short one, and I think it will end it. And, you know, Dan Patrick has a massive platform, and I think that we can, in the next 3 or 4 minutes, put an end to this debate.
MJ or LeBron?
It comes down to this, guys. I'm going to ask you exactly 5 questions, and based on those answers, we're going to end this debate today. John Ramos, you're the tiebreaker, but I think Doug and Dan will be in lockstep on each of these, okay?
Okay.
Quick question. MJ or LeBron, which of them is less disingenuous? Doug?
Wait, I got to make sure I answer this.
Yeah, it's
this
a double negative, I know.
It is a double negative.
Which is less disingenuous?
Jordan.
Dan?
I'll say Jordan.
Okay. So no need for Ramos on the tiebreaker. Go ahead. We're going to try to close the door on this. We're going to try to just lock the key so nobody has to talk about it again. Doug, which is more cold-blooded?
Yeah. Which is more cold-blooded?
Which of the two?
Oh, Jordan, not close.
Dan, which of the two, MJ or LeBron?
Like a serial killer cold-blooded,
yeah,
yes.
Or more cold-blooded.
Jordan.
Okay, so we're 2 for 2, right, guys? We're 2 for 2.
MJ or LeBron?
Third question, Doug.
Didn't just slam the door on that one?
I just want to slam the door on this.
Slam the door on this. No, never again.
Yeah.
You just want it to end.
Yeah.
You just want it to end. Like, I just, please stop talking about these two people. Yeah. Yes.
Which of these two had the most memorable game-winning moments, Doug?
It's Jordan. It's not close.
Dan?
The block was great, but yeah, Jordan... Yeah,
okay, so we don't even need Ramos for this conversation yet. I'm trying to close the door on this. I'm trying to lock the key and close the door on this debate. Which of the two has never lost an NBA Finals? Doug?
I'm going to go Michael Jordan.
Dan?
Yeah, I'm gonna go Jordan on this.
4 for 4.
All right.
And so the fifth and final question of this debate.
MJ. Or LeBron.
Which of the two, Doug, did it with one team?
That would be Michael Jordan.
Dan, do you have the answer to that?
I'm going
to
go Jordan on this.
Okay, so we're 10 for 10. 5 for 5, however you want to put it. each of the answers to those, what I think to be the quintessential or the most important questions in this debate, have been answered by two guys who knew a lot about this. I think we could finally close the door on the MJ-LeBron debate.
All right, can I close the door on a discussion that's been had, especially last week?
You want to close the door on this bit?
Yes, let's close the door on the bit. That was a good bit. But I it's interesting. Like,
MJ or LeBron.
In fairness to the LeBron people, like not a lot of that was about basketball, but I get it, and you're the best. The best. Doug Gottlieb and the boys in for Danettes here on the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. And full disclosure, we have a portion of my show, which we call What Did the Fox Say, where we point out things that have been said. And Rob Parker will join me tomorrow, and he'll tell me I'm wrong, and then I'll dismember him with facts. But can we close the door on the Eric Bieniemy isn't a head coach because the NFL is full of racist owners things? Can we do that? Jay Stu, do you have an opening to and close to that?
We'll get to work on that. But I think we can close the door on it, can't we, John?
John, can we close the door on it? John doesn't want to close the door on it.
But we'll see what your take is, and then we'll see if we can close the door.
The take is really, really simple. It's like there are all of these not only facts out there, but my biggest issue in all of this is we have some very talented reporters that have covered the league for years that are convinced that race is the factor in why Eric Bieniemy is, I've been told, being made to jump through hoops to prove he's worthy of being a head coach. Okay, keep in mind, and I pointed this out, Vic Fangio was a defensive coordinator like 25, 30 years ago in the NFL. He's always been regarded as a tremendous defensive mind. And it wasn't until 3 years ago he finally got his first head coaching job. There was no open opining because of rage or ageism or any of that. Okay, none of it. And yet, somehow, Bieniemy can't get a head coaching job. And we have to fall back on race. And here's my problem with the people who are reporters. Okay, Dan isn't a reporter. It's not necessarily his job. I do know he talks to a ton of people, but how come no one else has done what I'm about to do, which is simply tell you what a GM who interviewed Eric Bieniemy told me about why Eric Bieniemy wasn't a finalist for his job, let alone getting his job. And this was in the past couple of years. There's been none of this. And I'm not going to point out one guy. All you got to do is go to social media, and there's like six or seven guys who are reporters. And Lewis Reddick like kind of came at me with the, well, you know, have you ever talked to Lamar Hunt? Have you talked to Andy Reid? Have you talked to Brett Veach? Like, no, I don't have to. Look, the reason guys get jobs, okay, are two things. One, they're so impressive at their current job that when somebody from that job goes somewhere else, they say, I got to have that guy with me. Right? That's what happens. That's how I got this job. I had somebody who early on in the show, when we were first getting going, how does Doug Gottlieb keep getting jobs in sports media? Well, man, we've done pretty well with what we've done, but that's not beside the point. You want the answer? The answer is, one of the guys I work close with at my first spot is my boss here. And you align yourself with people who you believe in, you trust, and have the same vision for how to be successful. It really is. That's actually how business works. So I'll give you two examples, right? Chris Ballard is the GM of the Indianapolis Colts, right? Of the Indianapolis Colts. His job has come open twice. He just interviewed Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy is the offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs. He chose to hire Shane Steichen of the Philadelphia Eagles. So is Chris Ballard or Jim Irsay? And I love Jim Irsay's, this is clearly race. Like, I don't know, he won a Super Bowl with Tony Dungy, and then why am I forgetting the, and then Jim Caldwell was the coach there. So now he, now race matters. Went, no, it doesn't. The Colts want to win football games. They got to figure out the quarterback situation. And oh yeah, by the way, Shane Steichen had worked with them before. Had worked with, I mean, look what he did with, not just with Philip Rivers during his time in San Diego, and then in LA, he was with Justin Herbert, and look what he's done with Hurts in Philadelphia. Oh yeah, by the way, Ryan Poles is the general manager of the Chicago Bears. Now, this one gets a little tricky because the coach that he fired, the last coach of the Bears, was the former offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs. And now, by the way, he's back with the Kansas City Chiefs, and many people believe he's the heir apparent in Kansas City. So hold on a second. Okay, let's actually do ourselves a favor, right? Let's do ourselves a favor here. Okay, Matt Nagy was with the Chiefs, goes to the Bears. They go to the playoffs, but generally didn't work out great. He's back with the Chiefs. Okay, so we're led to believe that the Chiefs are promoting and telling you, you should hire Eric Bieniemy. Meanwhile, Ballard, who was there, didn't hire him. Poles, who was there, didn't hire him. And Matt Nagy, who wasn't a great head coach or believed to be a great head coach with the Bears, comes back to Kansas City. And most people in Kansas City, people I've talked to, said, you know, Matt Nagy is going to be the next guy when, you know, if and when Andy ever retires. They're telling you all you need to know. Of course, publicly, you can't say, like, man, I just don't think Eric's a head coach. Go back to last year, and Eric Bieniemy's contract was up, and there was a lot of talk that he had worn out his welcome, and that they were going to fight. And then they gave him a 1-year deal. He's the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs, and he takes another job as offensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders. So I did what I think. And look, I made mistakes in broadcasting, and I'm not a journalist, although I know journalistic structure and what you have to say and do in order to have reports. My flaws have been well publicized, so I'm not perfect. But I do know that there's this one thing that I've learned that's really, really, really simple. Just pick up the phone and they will talk to you when you work for Fox, ESPN, CBS, NBC, whatever. NFL Network. I talked to a GM and he said, you know, look, his reputation was nobody knows what he does in Kansas City because they have a passing game coordinator. They have a run game coordinator. They have Andy Reid who calls the plays. They have quarterback coach. And then you have Eric Bieniemy. But this guy I talked to said that didn't really bother us. Like, I don't care if you call plays. You don't have to call plays. You got to run a team. But if you're not going to call plays, you got to have the structure in place. And here's how it's all going to work. He also has a reputation of being a guy that rough around the edges, not necessarily a uniter. And again, remember, when you're the head coach, all those people work for you. You got to work with the GM. You got to manage up well. And then you got to manage down well. But his reputation was, hey, it can be a little rough around the edges. Hey, he's like, our meetings with him, we liked him. Everybody liked him. Thought he was a good dude. Thought we could work with him. I said, so what separated him from the other candidates? They said, there wasn't a clear vision or plan. There wasn't a lot of substance to it. That's it. And again, this GM said, he may have come in with the idea that he thought he was going to get a different job, but that's how it felt. Like he wasn't giving us nearly the amount of substance. And if you, there's a book, Next Man Up. It's a John Feinstein book, right? Next Man Up. And it details the Baltimore Ravens. But it talks about when Brian Billick got that job, he was the offensive coordinator with the Minnesota Vikings. That was the Minnesota Vikings team that lost on the field goal, missed the field goal for the first time all year, lost the Atlanta Falcons, right? He goes and gets a Ravens job. But he had the detail he had in his meetings with the Ravens wowed them. Every player on the roster, every free agent available, all the salary structures, who he was going to put in place in terms of the coaches, who he liked in the upcoming NFL draft, all of that stuff. That's what a head coach does in working with the general manager. There's a bunch of other things at play here. Going to hire this guy, going to hire that guy. Here's how this is going to work. It's a very detail-oriented process. And they said, like, look, we liked Eric Bieniemy. We had zero bad things to say about him personally. Didn't care they didn't call plays. But there just was not a clear vision in comparison to many of the other guys we talked to. And, oh, yeah, by the way, this is an organization that has employed a black head coach. Again, I'm not sitting here telling you that the NFL hasn't had issues with race in the past. Okay? Okay? And if you go back, you can trace it. If you go back, you know, 40 years ago when there were these insane and completely inappropriate questions about aptitude for the black quarterback. Those have been not only disproven, but like we're so far past that, it's silly. But what happens is, you know, you get a backlog of quarterbacks, and generally backup quarterbacks become your coaches. Right? But what's not reported by any of these people, Byron Leftwich should have been the coach of the Jaguars. He passed on the job because he didn't want to work with the GM. Brian Flores said, hey, I could have likely been the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. The only thing I can think of is either they're cheap, right? Because the GM is a guy who's a Patriot guy. So he's fully aligned with Brian Flores. Probably didn't want to work with Kyler Murray. That's his choice. And I'm sure Brian Flores is sitting there going like, I lost one job. I got to make sure the next job is the right job for me. Brilliant. But nowhere in this discussion is race ever a factor. And yet, here we are. We have super talented reporters, guys that know every... They have 10 times the sources I have in the league. And they fall back on this... I'd like to close the door on that narrative that Eric Bieniemy is the one coach being held away from being a head coach in the NFL because of the color of his skin. Like, really? How about you pick up the phone and call any of these GMs, presidents, people, and ask them what were the factors in deciding why he didn't get, was the Colts job he just interviewed for? I think he interviewed for Arizona. I know he interviewed for Houston. I'd like to close. Can I close the door on that argument? Welcome in. Dan Beyer alongside. Of course, you got Jay Stu, John Ramos. This is my crew. Rick Bucher from Fox Sports will give us his thoughts on whatever you want to call the All-Star game. And we'll get you ready for kind of the stretch run as NBA teams are only now seeming like they're focused on getting it together for the postseason. What are the new look Lakers going to look like when LeBron plays, what do you say, the 23 most important games of his career? Okay. We're broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. Unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com. It's the way that tire buying should be. So there was some discussion from All-Star Weekend about load management. Kyrie Irving gave a lot of thoughtful answers when he was asked questions. Here was his answer in regards to load management.
I don't know who created the term load management, or, you know, guys sitting out games, or, you know, this narrative that continues to play on about star players or guys not being available. I don't know who started the narrative, but it's completely run amok. I think it's dehumanized some of us in terms of just the way we prepare ourselves day to day. This is a 24/7 job. We have cameras on us all the time.
Okay, I'm not really... So, because there's camera... Again, I'm trying to piece together what he's saying. It's dehumanizing you. He loves the dehumanizing. That's a big fallback on it. That anytime there's criticism of him or people in the NBA, we're dehumanizing you. Is that objectifying? If you're dehumanizing something, are you objectifying? You making them more of an object than an actual living being? That's honestly, that is the most millennial word ever. Actually, there's nothing more human than I'm really tired. I don't want to go to work, but I have to go to work. I'm really tired, but I don't want to go to work, but I got to go because other people are depending upon me. Right? I mean, it's the old, can you imagine if the school bus driver's like, I mean, you know, I'd like to go take your kids to school, but I got to load manage because that way I can perform my best when dropping your kids off at school. No, that's not the way it works. I mean, there are teachers we wish would have had a day off because they're just, you know, you run on a teacher that's had a bad weekend or had a bad night, whatever, and they're a little punchy with you. I get it. Even in my job, which I'm okay saying, I have the cakest cake job of all time. I watch sports and talk about sports and interview other people about sports and talk about live sporting events as they happen. Doesn't get any better. But I do a lot in a given day. I do the show, do a podcast, do a basketball show on Stadium. I'll go and do games. Like, you know, I just, guys, today I'm not, people do that in their industry at the end, not early on, when they're just holding on, collecting a check. Here's Adam Silver, okay? Here's some quotes. I hesitate to weigh in on the issue, load management, as to whether or not players are playing because playing enough because there is a real medical and scientific data about what's appropriate. Sometimes, to me, the premise of the question as to whether players are playing enough suggests that they should be playing more, that, in essence, there should be a notion just to get out there and play. Having been in the league for a long time, having spent a lot of time with our great legends, I don't think that's necessarily the case. He's doing these aren't the droids you're looking for. The world that we used to have where it was just get out there and play through injuries, for example, I don't think it's appropriate. Clearly, I mean, at the end of the day, they're human beings. Many of you talk to and know well who are playing through enormous pain, who play through all kinds of aches and pains on a regular basis. The suggestion, I think, that these men, in the case of the NBA, should somehow get out there more for its own sake, I don't buy into. What? So because their bodies hurt from playing basketball, they shouldn't play basketball? The expression I always use is basketball players play basketball. Like, what else are you going to do? That's what you get paid to do. You know, I had this discussion. A friend of mine is one of the ways I became friends with him was through Dan, was Darius Rucker. And it's the whole idea of, like, there was a time in his life when he's like, man, I only want to be with you. I can only play so many times. But if you have bills, if you have kids, if you want to play at these shows, people still want to hear the Hootie songs. They just do. And whether you feel like it or you don't feel like it, that's what a job is. Like, I'm actually more offended when I read it from Adam, when I hear it and I see it from Adam Silver, than I am from Kyrie Irving. Especially when this is Anthony Edwards. What is Anthony Edwards, 22? Here's Anthony Edwards on load management.
If there's anything I could change about the league to make it better, probably just all the guys sitting resting. That's the only thing I probably don't like. Just play, man. If you 80%, 70%, you got to play. I don't like all the sitting, missing games and stuff. Like, these people might have enough money to come to one game, you know what I'm saying? And that might be the game they come to, and then you sitting out, you know what I'm saying? So I take pride in trying to play every game because I don't know. It might be one fan that has never seen me play, and I'm trying to play. So that's the only thing I don't like, guys just sitting out.
Let me just speak for all of America and say thank you, Anthony Edwards. More Adam Silver. What world do you live in? Like, bro, you live in New York City. You have a great job that you work really hard to get. I get all of that. But the rest of the real world is, do you have any idea how expensive it is to go to your games? Do you have any clue what that does to your fans? You are telling your fans that you value a guy getting paid an exorbitant amount of money to not play. Because he doesn't feel perfect. Like sports science, listen, here's the reality of sports science. It has a value. Okay? It absolutely has a value. But I'll draw this comparison, okay? The comp is with head injuries, right? We have the same protocols for head injuries in basketball that we do in football. Here's the problem with it. Tell me the basketball player who's suffering from dementia because of repeated head trauma. They don't actually exist. And yeah, there are some NBA players who, like, you see him try and run. I played that celebrity game like 13 years ago, right? And I'll never forget Rick Bucher, who's going to join us. He was in my head the whole week. He kept telling me, dude, I talked to Tim Hardaway. He knows who you are. He's coming for you. And then we watched him. I watched him run up and down the court one time. And I was like, oh, Tim Hardaway's, he's an old man now. He's out of shape. This is fine. I was completely freaked out by it. I get that playing 82 games and the playoffs for 10 or 15 years, that can do some damage to your knees, to your hips, or whatever. But the reality is that football players, those guys, they're walking around, they're maligned. They're mangled. They're a mangled mess. There aren't former NBA players who are worse off because of their time exercising every day, playing 82 nights and sitting in ice buckets. Like, if we take medical science at its word, you sprain your ankle, you're out for 4 weeks. Like, that's not how it works with these guys are superhuman. And yeah, maybe their performance isn't as good. But like, what are we doing? You have a job. You signed up to do the job. You can't shorten the season because the idea of shortening the season, you're forgetting what it does to everybody else. Those arenas have leases. Those leases have 41 nights plus preseason games and the potential for postseason. It's not just the arenas. It's all of the restaurants, all of the bars, all the tax breaks that were given in order to build the brand new arenas. All the people that work in those arenas. You're going to take 10 games away from them or 5 games away from them? Are you going to give them that money? And, oh, yeah, by the way, do you think NBA players are going to give back any of the money that they get guaranteed based upon an 82-game schedule? You have a smoldering dumpster fire of a mess on your hands where even one of your young stars sits there and goes, I just wish guys would play. I came to the NBA to play basketball against the best, and I don't know who's playing. And even he has the general sense of, yeah, you know, there's lots of nights when we go out there to play, and the best player on our team or the other team might not be playing because he doesn't feel perfect. What are we doing? I expect Kyrie, that's on brand. You're dehumanizing. But Adam Silver to go, Kyrie, you know, I think they're human beings. You're saying we're dehumanizing. No, we're not. The most human thing you can say, Adam Silver, is, hey, I get that you're sore, that you're tired. Right? But you have to have some perspective in that you fly in private jets, you stay in the best hotels, you got the best medical treatment. We're not at, if you don't want to play this, we do not want hostages. But if you want to play, you got to try and play 82 nights. Right? We want to play, you got to play 82 nights. Karl Malone was up there. What was it, 10 straight years? He played every game? And I'm not a Karl Malone fan. And it, like, there's, I said this before the show to Jay Stu. There isn't a human being alive that ever patterned their game after Karl Malone. And there were no moves. There's no, like, no. His game was kind of weird. He ran the lane and John Stockton found him. He developed a really good keyhole jump shot. He's a good, solid post player. But like, Akeem has the dream shake. Kareem has the skyhook. Nobody emulates or even names any of the moves of Karl Malone. Karl Malone just played hard. That was it. And he played every night. And you have Adam Silver trying to convince us this isn't really an issue. Medical science backs it up. You're dehumanizing him. No, we're not. They're human beings. Isn't but the whole idea. Go ahead, Dan.
I was going to say, isn't Adam Silver part of the problem? Because when we start hearing this segment, and Kyrie's like, "Who came up with load management?" The NBA did because they didn't want to put rest on the injury report. Right. Remember, like people didn't like to hear that guys were resting, so they came up with the term of load management. Which, by the way, I think you could have figured out better terms, but like that's so to sit there and even make it seem like you're out on your own. No, the NBA is catering at least that to you.
I'm dumbfounded by the messaging from the NBA. The disconnect in the NBA from what the fans and people in sports actually believe. That's the big thing. It's like, are we on the same planet here? Do we not understand this is a problem?
It to me is... You know, it really, it started with the Spurs, right? When Popovich would rest guys like Duncan. Really wasn't known, wasn't throughout the league, but they would do it at times. Duncan's not going to play tonight. You're like, oh, okay. Well, they're resting him. And then it took another step when guys started missing that Saturday night ABC game. When, just take Spurs Warriors and Tim Duncan and Kawhi Leonard aren't playing and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson aren't playing, or whatever the matchup is. And all of a sudden you're saying, well, now what about the advertisers? And we've talked about the fans before, but now it's like, well, if they can do it then we can do it here. And then we'll just blame it on the back-to-backs. And then
it's
we'll...
just such a bad business. Nobody runs a business this way. You don't run a bit like this. Is the customer is always right is the number one thing in any customer service business, right? And that's right. You're an entertainment business. It's about the customers. Like, how many times can you piss off the customers before they go like, I'm just not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to do it. Not going to do it. And by the way, what kids see, what adults see in the pros, they emulate at a lower level. You do see this in high school games. LeBron's kid, they lost again last Friday night. But there were games at the end of the season where suddenly it was like he's got a knee injury. Like, what are you talking about? Like, it's high school basketball. He's not hurt. He just played. We're load managing. Excuse me? What are we doing? I mean, has any of you, Ramos, have you been to a Laker game? When was the last time you were at a Laker game?
2014.
Yeah. Okay. Did you get the tickets or did you pay for the tickets?
I paid for them. I took Sarah. She was like, actually, it was earlier than that. I think Sarah was like 10. So it was a while ago. Yeah.
Wait, she was 10 then?
I'm trying to think of how old she was. She was young. So probably wasn't 2014. She was born in 2005. I think it was like 20. She was like 7 years old. It's like, what was that, 2011?
Yeah.
2012, yeah.
How much did night cost you?
Oh, geez. I don't know. It was just me, her, and Suzanne, my wife. So I can't remember. But it... We sat up in the rafters. It was pretty high in the Staples Center.
I think it was
Center.
$328.
Definitely $328.
I can't remember the exact
Wapner,
price.
$328.
Go to your online banking and scroll to 2011 if you can.
Hold on a second.
Okay. So look. So I'll give you an example. The Lakers play the Warriors upcoming, right? They play the Warriors. So parking, and you can go to like StubHub, and you can get a parking lot C, well, this one's $19. Most of them are $30, $80, okay? But the tickets in section 332, okay? It's not in the court. It's like in that kind of angle, sort of up in the third deck. Yeah, you can get two unrestricted view. Good, I can see the whole court. $80 a pop. So I'm going to pay $40 for parking, $160 for two tickets to sit way the hell up high. Plus, again, we know you either go out to dinner or you get some food while you're there. You're in it for $250, plus you got to fight traffic. That's the cheapest possible ticket for the Timberwolves and the Lakers, right? And the worst seat in the house, or one of the worst seats in the house. And you show up and your kids are excited. Oh, you want to bring your kids? Okay, that's another $250, $500. Like, pick said star player not playing tonight. LeBron's not playing tonight. Now, LeBron, you want to give him a bit of a pass. You're like, dude, he's been doing this a long time. But Anthony Davis, you don't. It's an awful way to run a business. They have understudies on Broadway, but they also offer refunds if the understudy is performing. You know? I mean, imagine if... How many nights off does the lead guys of Hamilton take off? I don't know. I just... The idea that it's not that big of an issue, people are making it a bigger issue, and you go with the sports science and we're dehumanizing people. Like, no, look, I actually think every human being who's ever played any sort of athletics or works totally gets it. It's not dehumanizing. It actually dehumanizes us. It's trying to make us feel bad. That's what it's doing. It's trying to make us feel like we're some sort of Neanderthal. You got to play. We're the dad on the sideline that's forcing a kid to play a sport that he clearly doesn't want to play. Like, that ain't it, dude. We're paying customers. You have the best in the world. There's 360 days in a year. We're asking them to play 82 nights. They get treated like absolute kings. It's basketball. It's aerobic exercise with some physicality blended in. And oh yeah, by the way, do you know what the best thing to do if you're a basketball player when you have a cold? You want to know what the best thing to do is? Play basketball. Opens up your capillaries, you feel great. You know what the best thing to do when, like, the answer to every single problem for your body is generally exercise. And yet they're telling you, no, don't exercise, because I've talked to former players, they have aches and pains. And do any of those former players like, man, I wish I only played 60 games? No. You have your job because you're competitive at your job and you're great at your job. So you want to do your job less?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.